That's a hot new country track from Ella Langley, choosing Texas. But right now, we're choosing the KZN North Coast. It's coming to you live from the heart of Bolito. It's Radio Life and Style. And on a Wednesday, bringing coffee in hand and a good conversation to boot, it's time to touch base with our legal eagle, Gavin Steinhobel from Kloppers Inc. He is, as ever, present on a Wednesday. How are you doing, Gavin?
Yeah, good. Thank you, Mike. Yeah, a lovely weather today. Seems a little bit a tad cooler, which is a bit of a relief.
Yeah, you know what? We had some really, really hot stuff. We had a bit of a reprieve over the weekend, and even though the sun's back out today, it looks like the coolness is, edges has been taken off.
Yeah, Bolito has been feeling like Jeffrey Epstein's new quarters.
Pure. Man. Yeah, fire and brimstone. Well, listen, that's definitely still eating up lots of the news cycle and will be for some time to come. But closer to home, there are some things that are hotting up on the news front. Budget speech.
It's an exciting day. Yeah, we get our budget speech today, and I often think of... it's basically the parasite class telling us exactly how much of our hard-earned earnings they're going to take in the coming 12 months.
Gavin's not jaded, hey? He's not a cynical guy.
Not cynical at all. The feudal lord's going to come out today and tell us how much of our crops they're going to take.
Well, yeah, what did Bob Dylan say? You got to serve somebody.
We'll serve Enoch, yeah. Oddly enough, compared to the position we were in last year, when we did the budget speech and the government was casting around for money and they were going to give us a 2% VAT hike and that fell flat. It seems, I was listening to Darby Roots, he seems quite a sensible guy, and he keeps mentioning that we probably made about 50 billion rand in revenue more owing to the mining sector rallying because of gold price and so forth having gone up. Ritz says that if we raised VAT by 1%, the government would collect an extra 25 billion. So this is like raising VAT by 2% anyway. And this is just a windfall, which was unforeseen at the beginning of last year. Sure. So I think the whole VAT issue, or any prospect of a VAT increase, it's not on the cards at all. Or it's not even necessary. So it's really just a question of seeing how they go with the various taxes. Hopefully... they can move the tax brackets along, because it's called fiscal drag, but what happens is as your salary increases, you pop into the next bracket and your marginal rate increases. So you could find yourself in a weird situation where if you're an employee, for example, you can get a small raise. It pops you into the next bracket and makes you worse off because you're getting taxed at a higher rate. So the government doesn't move those brackets up every budget. They kind of leave them there for 3 or 4 or 5 years. And and what's happening is with inflation, salaries go up and everybody creeps into brackets they shouldn't be in. Ooh. And they pay more taxes, and that's called fiscal drag. So hopefully our government will sit down this budget and say, all right, we're going to move our little tax brackets up a little bit just to allow for the fact that we've had inflation for the last 5 years since they were last set, or whenever they were set. But they just don't do it annually because it suits them, you know. So that's something we hope to see. We've also... we're spending 1.2 billion rand a day on servicing debt that was made by previous governments.
That keeps on giving.
Yeah, but I see that the bond rates, the yield rates are way down. So our minister can, basically borrow money at 4% less than he could have this time last year. So that's also good. That means that, there's less pressure on us as taxpayers. I don't know why a government ever has to borrow money when they've got tax revenue. You should cut your cloth to suit your wallet, but in any event, they do. So and then obviously everybody is quite interested to see whether we're going to be spending money on infrastructure, because there's a water crisis all over the country. Old water reticulation systems are failing. They haven't been maintained over the years in typical ANC style. And so now everything's a bit of a crisis and a bit critical, and we urgently have to divert funds to there. And we have to worry about Eskom as well, as usual, because I believe there's three generating utilities that will come to the end of their lifespan by 2029.
Ooh, so that's around the corner.
They need to be replaced, especially because we're looking at finally seeing some decent growth in this country, economic growth, and with economic growth, electrical demand for electricity obviously is going to go up. So hopefully this time they're on the ball and they don't have to react to lack of planning, but maybe they can be a bit proactive on the fact that we seriously need to look into the future with regards to our electricity needs. So yeah, the budget will be interesting, but the most interesting part will be, are we going to spend all our money on repaying loans and government salaries and social programs, or are we going to actually start spending some of that money on the infrastructure of this country? Because infrastructure is key to economic growth. Because if you don't have the infrastructure, nobody's going to come and build a plant here and say, well, in 2029 it might be a disaster because we might not have electricity. So we need to get that kind of confidence from investors in the market and say, listen, we are on top of electricity, we are on top of the water crisis, we are on top of all these things the government should be doing automatically, and don't worry about that because this is a good destination for your money. Come and invest. Let's go.
Well, hey, I am seeing some encouraging news at the moment. You talk about private infrastructure investment and foresight, and while there might not be any plants to replace those Eskom fleet units that are going to be needing to be rebuilt or refurbed in a couple of years, I see that South Africa's most powerful private power plant has begun construction at the moment. Solar Group has achieved financial close and commenced construction on its Neos 1 hybrid solar and battery project near Fuljoenskroon in the Free States.
Yeah, wonderful. So, I know where that is. Yeah? Guinea-fowl country.
There you go. So, guinea-fowls and solar panels. It's going to be hopefully setting the stage for more of these things popping up now that the private sector has really been allowed to enter the picture in a major way. But
are they generating solar?
It looks to be. It's a solar PV generation, a facility consisting of 435 MWP, whatever that is, megawatt somethings.
Yes, many of them.
and a large battery storage, battery energy storage.
Well, the
system.
Free States is a splendid place to generate solar power because there's not much rainfall and it's a vast flat pancake baking in the sun, so why not?
But I've even heard that in some of our green fields there are areas that have been scouted and states like for example Zimbali Lakes future proofing and planning for down the line to have on site solar farmed sort.
I see all the new estates that are being developed. Part of the plan is their own sewage reticulation, sewage plants.
This is it.
So all of these services that traditionally were sort of given to us by the local municipality will now be in private hands. And let's face it, the private sector does a better job of everything. The minute you monopolize things in the state's hands, there's just no real incentive to do it well or to do it competitively or to do it cheaply.
This is the thing. So we will be watching, though, with anticipation to see what emerges from the budget today. I'm sure Gavin's going to have lots of hot takes we'll be able to pick through it with a bit of a fine-tooth comb this time next week. But you're feeling optimistic overall.
I think so. I think, looking at the market, looking at the transactions that are coming in to my practice, both the bonds that we're registering for the banks and the sale of residential and commercial property, it's looking like the market is really rallying beautifully this year. It's a good start to the year. The year's, we normally look at it in quarters, and I think, all indicators are that this first quarter is going to be a bumper one.
That's amazing. And have you had any read on the potential unbundling, the Tongaat-Hulett liquidation story, and if there's any large parcels of land that might be going under the gavel soon and potentially?
No, I think it's early days. The liquidators probably still have to be appointed. They need to review the company as a whole. I know a friend of mine is a specialist in mills, and he's been conducting a bit of an audit the last while, going around and checking what they have, what's working, what's not working, and so forth. I think there's some sounds that government will get involved, It's essential for our North Coast that these mills work. You know, I ride enduro motorbikes out in Glendale, so we spend a lot of time out in the district there. And just in the last year, they've started to clear huge tracts of land, and they've planted cane, and a lot of that cane's ready to go to the mills, and now the mills are going bang. So I think there'll be a huge political will, because this project looks like it's been quite successful, but it could be an absolute disaster if there's no mill to mill the cane in. So I'd imagine that there must be a massive political will in government to make sure that Tongaat doesn't fail. Also, you know, we all know people that work for the company, and you know, was it 3,500 people? So, you know, you've got to think that that'll be a massive blow to this economy. So, I think a plan will be had.
Well, hey, here's hoping, and we're definitely going to be keeping tabs on that story as well. So, no shortage of things to keep tabs on. Gavin's also becoming a bit of a podcast star, featured guest on Penny Free's Uncensored. I believe there's another episode in the works very soon.
I enjoyed the one we made last week, and I see it's got quite a lot of views. But it's lovely working with Penny, and she's certainly a good journalist, and she knows her facts, and she's done her homework. So it's nice just being an adjunct on that show, and I've enjoyed it very much.
Well, you see, you're able to provide a legal perspective on things and explain
that whole property law thing. You know, just as a young attorney in the 90s, just when we went through 94 and that, I was quite involved in sort of all the land claims and that at the time in Newcastle. And you know, I just looked at the whole thing, so I got like a view of it that goes over 30-odd years. And so, and it's been a little bit of something that I've kept up with and been interested in. I'm not in that part of practice anymore, but you tend to follow things that you're interested in, and I've been interested in it. I think that our land system, this two-tier system that we've got, like tribal land and then normal registered land, that doesn't serve the people that live in the tribal areas. And I think that has to change. It's inevitable that it has to modernize. And it'll be interesting to see where it goes. But the cracks are showing, and people are discontented with the way things are now. So change has to come. Just when change seems impossible, it always becomes inevitable.
That's a quote you can think about while you're having your coffee this morning. Gavin Steinhubel, giving you an informed opinion as an attorney at law, and a man who you will find down at the Kloppers Inc. practice in the Lower Belito Village. Gavin, for anyone looking to pick your legal brain, what's the smartest way to get in touch?
Yeah, probably, you could go online and find our email addresses. I'm steinhubel@klopperslaw.co.za, but the easiest is probably just to head down to the village. We're in the Belito Center on the ground floor, pretty well signposted. Just behind the spa down there.
Yeah.
And excellent.
He always has good coffee, whether he's bringing it into the studio or serving it in his office.
No, coffee is essential.
Gavin, thanks for a cool catch-up on Wednesday. We'll do it again next week. We'll unpack the budget.
That'll be interesting. we'll see a lot. Hopefully this time it's going to be a nice positive budget. I think that, you know, we've turned some kind of corner. I don't know where it is, but we've turned it, and it just seems like there's a mood of optimism both in government and in the private sector.
I'll take it. We'll hang on to that optimism until next week, my friend. Have a wonderful Wednesday.
Cheers, Mike.
You heard it on Radio Life and Style.